You know what a whole apple looks like, or a whole chicken. But do you really know what the whole you looks like? Imagine yourself whole, complete, and free. Now listen to today's podcast, where our guest will show you how to reach your own personal level of wholeness. And we'll talk about being whole and complete on this episode of the Get It Together Girl podcast.
If you were looking for more than just girl talk, look no further. It's fun. It's feisty. It's fabulous. It's the Get It Together Girl podcast with me, your host, Karen B.
You know, this is the first show I'm recording after my birthday, and that is significant, not just because my birthday is awesome, but it's significant because I always go away for a couple days, like a little retreat around my birthday, and I take some time to really look at my year, what went well, what didn't, what I need to focus on in the next year, what I need to start doing, what I need to stop doing, things like that. And as I looked over the totality of my year and just my life in general, I realized that I am not whole. There are certain areas of my life where I'm focused and I'm doing what I need to do, and there are other parts of my life that I have completely neglected. So, you know, today our show being whole, being complete, that's something that I really can't say that I have. And what's intriguing about it is my definition of whole, complete, and free is different from your definition, your friend's definition, your spouse's definition. And we can all strive for and actually have happiness, wholeness, and the ability to live our true and authentic selves, whatever that may look like. And as a coach, Wendy Reese is someone who's passionate about helping clients embrace their authentic selves. On her website, she challenges her visitors to imagine freedom, freedom from fear, freedom from doubt, freedom from judgment, and to imagine being whole, living life in the moment, engaging your senses, and being, and I love this, unapologetically you. And then after all that imagining, she asks you to stop imagining and start doing. And that's what we want to talk about with Wendy Reese. Wendy, welcome to Get It Together, Girl.
Thank you so much for having me on. I appreciate it.
Okay, you know, I just want to jump right in. And the part that intrigued me about reading about you is the first question that popped into my mind was, what happens when you stop imagining and you start believing? Because for a lot of people, imagination and belief, since they both occur in your head, they're the same, but they're not.
Right. And can I give you a little bit of background before I answer the question?
Sure. Sure.
So one of the things that I believe with all my heart is that when we are just energy, before we come into this body, we create these soul plans, and we have a desire to experience the totality of being human. We are divine and infinite beings that are choosing to come into a finite human body to experience limitations. We get to experience both the shadows and the light. And when we go through that birthing canal, we forget that. And yet there is still this divinity that is within us, this wholeness that is within us. And there is typically something that happens that when we're being our bright, brilliant, unapologetically authentic self, and we realize that it's not okay to be that in that moment. Maybe it's something as simple as mom saying, "Honey, not now, I'm busy." And just the tone saying, "Ooh, I don't want to risk losing that love and acceptance, so I'm going to back off just a little bit." And if that happens time and time and time again, and certainly there are much worse case scenarios of how that happens, but if it happens regularly, we begin to shut down and we disconnect from ourselves. And so then we believe that we're not whole. We look at our lives and we say, well, I'm on it here, here, and here, like you were talking about in the intro, but I'm not here and here. And we forget that part of why, a huge part of why we're here is to experience that totality. So what happens when we start shutting down is we create these mind maps and we create neural pathways to keep us safe, accepted, and loved. And when we stop imagining and we start believing, what we're doing is coming into that present moment to just get still and not pull our past of where we never wanted to feel that way again into the future of the expectations of how something is going to turn out. And we just come into that present moment and we take a deep breath and we say, I am here now. And we take another breath and another breath, and being here now opens up this field of infinite possibilities for us. And we don't have to go in the direction that we expected. Things don't have to turn out the way that we were afraid they might. And who knows, they could turn out even better than what we were expecting them to, if we're willing to stay present in the moment. So the what does it feel like to go from just believing to really being is that calmness, that groundedness, that centeredness. If you've ever stood in nature and you've watched the sunset, or you've just stood, I live, my backyard, I am so incredibly blessed, is the Green Mountain National Forest. And when I go out there and I just stand next to those trees that are 40 to 70 feet tall, that their trunks are wider than me and their roots wrap over these huge boulders, and I can hear the creek running through, and I just stand there and I feel that energy that none of those trees are worried about being judged by other people. They're not trying to be some other species of tree. They're just being trees, and they're okay with that, and they're doing their thing, pulling up the energy from the earth, and right now they're all preparing to go dormant for the winter, so they're changing colors, and they're brilliant and beautiful, and then they're letting go of those leaves. And next year, maybe they come back, maybe they don't. But in the moment, they are here now.
You know, as you were talking, and I was thinking when you were talking about coming into your own and being in the moment, what I kept thinking of is when you're imagining, you're thinking about who you want to be, who you are, and all of this. But when you're believing, you're being, you're stepping into it.
You're
being it. So instead of looking at clothes in your closet, you actually step into a pair of pants or a shirt or a dress. You're being, you're actually inhabiting it instead of just thinking about something at a distance.
Yeah, and I think we often, especially women, we are so concerned about other people judging us and being perfect, being enough. And we already are enough. If you were to just say, screw it, I don't care what anybody else says. Today, I'm going to feel sexy, whatever that is for me. Today, what if we don't even go as far as feeling sexy? What if we just decide we're going to feel, and we're not going to try to not feel? And even if that means, you know what, I'm going to have a moment of sadness, I'm going to have a moment of anger, I'm going to have a moment of divine orgasm, I'm just going to let it come through me and just experience it in that moment, it shifts things, and it empowers you into a level of confidence that no outfit could give you that kind of confidence. This is an internal radiating out, not an external trying to make the internal work.
I think that's important. You know, you've mentioned it several times, and you talk a lot about being disconnected. How does one tell if they are disconnected?
Oof, there's so many ways to feel that way. I think the big ones that I see a lot with my clients and my students is that they feel lost. They feel different. They feel unworthy, unlovable, a lot of fear. They don't feel like they're enough. They don't feel like I'm not fill in the blank enough, good enough, smart enough, pretty enough, strong enough, rich enough. And there's always this kind of low-grade friction that's happening within. And there's a sense of longing for something more. So it comes in a lot of shapes and sizes.
And it's what I just thought about, because I'm on a real stream of consciousness thing. I probably need to go to sleep. I've been up forever. But when you were talking, I started to think about just what I forgot I was thinking about. Just that fast.
I love it when that happens.
Yeah, because I just turned 47, so maybe that has something to do with it. But when you are feeling disconnected, when you're feeling, that's what I was going to say, I got it back now. I think a lot of people don't even get to the point where they can actually acknowledge feeling disconnected.
Yeah.
Because so many people are just so bogged down in daily getting from moment to moment. You know,
yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like you get up, you go to work, you come home, you fix dinner, you get the kids to bed, you watch TV, you go to sleep. And I think for a lot of us, we don't even get to the point where we can even really connect with how we feel.
Right, and I'll add to that, as you're going through all of those motions of the daily to-dos, there's a couple of things that happen, and here's where you can key into, am I disconnected or not? In those, if you have these moments where you're like, why the F am I doing this? This isn't even for me. I don't even like doing this. I don't know why I'm doing this. I would do anything to not do this. Or if you find yourself continually, what I say, shoulding on yourself, so you're saying, I should do this, I shouldn't do that, it's that continual judgment and guilt that keep coming up. And you feel like there's a sense of, I don't even know who I am anymore. That's a serious disconnection. And
I would say so, yes.
The other one that people who are bogged down oftentimes will, they don't say this out loud to very many people, if any, but it is a common thread I see where they say, I'm not suicidal and I don't want to die, but I wish I could just go to sleep and not wake up because I don't want to do this anymore. I don't know how. I can't. I'm done.
Yeah, and as you're talking, the other thing I'm thinking about, maybe a sign of disconnection, would be frustration.
Yeah, and anger, a low-grade anger of where the little things make you snap.
Wow. I've been there. Not there now, but I've been there.
I've been there. I think we've all been there, and that's part of, and it's what the Shaivite tantrics say is godly play. So in Shaivite tantrism, they believe that Shiva and Shakti, the divine masculine and feminine, come down to earth to embody in human form. And they go through these limitations and they create the Maya or the illusion, which allows them to experience the totality. It allows them to experience the contraction. And then they have to remember that they aren't the illusion, they aren't the limitations, and they can expand back out into their divine form. And I think we humans do that all the time. We have moments of great clarity and expansion and wholeness, and then we go back into the play of the limitation. And it is a back and forth and an ebbing and flow within our lives, and that's part of the human experience. As much pain as we can feel, we can also experience that much joy. There's room for all of it.
Wow, that's really deep. Now, that is, you know, as we talk about this and what your being really is and how to get in touch with yourself and that whole ebb and flow of life, a lot of us live our whole lives without realizing that there is an ebb and flow and kind of fighting against it. And, yeah. You know, a lot of us, we resist the ebb and flow because we've got this idea in mind.
Right.
Okay, my life is going to be this. And then that ebb and flow happens, and it might take you away from that course.
Yeah.
So, you know, you have people that, when these negative things happen, they believe, okay, well, I guess that's not the dream for me. Or I guess maybe I'm not good, or like going back to what you said before, I'm not worthy. I'm not good enough to do this. When really what's happening is just life. You know, and
yeah.
How do you get people to see that maybe to get out of that doubt and disbelief when these things happen?
Well, there's a couple of things. One thing is to remember that we do have this soul plan, and we do want to experience several things. And within the soul plan, we make contracts. One of those contracts is to help the other person contract and expand. So I may be, and this, we see this a lot in parent-child relationships or partnerships, romantic partnerships, where I may lift you up and make you want to be a better person, and at the same time, I may drive you nuts at times, and there's kind of this back and forth that happens. The second contract is only to cause a contraction. And this is seen by somebody that comes into your life, they hurt you badly, and then they're gone. And they're not ever really here to help you expand back out of that pain. Their role was to help create that pain so that you could experience that limitation. And the third one is people who aren't ever here to help you contract. I'm sure you play this role in your work, as I do, where our role is to help you expand, to help you remember your divine infinite being, not cause you a contraction. And so
right.
Within those, if we remember that, A, we have a soul plan, and B, we have these contracts, it really kind of allows us to step back and say, okay, what's really going on? Where am I believing in something that is very limiting? And the other part of that is what I have found, and working with entrepreneurs over the past 3 or 4 years, I really see this a lot with them. They set their sights to a certain point. And Gay Hendricks has a book called The Big Leap. I don't know if you're familiar with this book.
No, not that book, no.
Brilliant book. Recommend everybody to read this. He talks about upper limit problems, and it's when we reach our perceived capacity to experience joy, we create a container to tamp it down. And we do this in all kinds of crazy ways, like getting sick or picking an argument with our significant other when we've just had a really fabulous date. There's just a ton of ways that we do it. And when we start stretching outside of our comfort zone, there's that little mind map I was talking about earlier where it says, whoa, 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 remember I promised to keep you safe and you're about to go into the danger zone. And even though the experience you're about to go into is unlike anything you've ever experienced before, your mind is going to try to pull you into the past and say, be careful. And so we create these upper limit problems. If we are willing to just say, you know what, perhaps I didn't create a big enough dream. Perhaps I didn't look at it from the 30,000 foot view and see what other ways could this dream play out. Sometimes I think we have a tendency as humans, and I see this a lot in women, that we don't fully express what our hearts are longing for. So we may say, you know what, I have this dream to be a best-selling author, right? And
right.
What we're really, it's not so much the best-selling author, it's that our hearts are longing to be recognized. And our purpose is to connect deeply to people and to inspire them and motivate them and get them to think on a different level. Well, you don't necessarily have to be a best-selling author to do that or to receive that. And so there
could
be something even bigger.
A lot of times we get wrapped up and we have to be successful, to be your own unapologetic self. You have to have some material degree of success. And that's not necessarily true. It can't be enough that you write because you enjoy writing. You have to become a best-selling author. You can't just be a singer. You have to be the next Mariah Carey. And I think that is what that gets a lot of people off course.
Absolutely. Not everybody's sole plan is to be famous or financially wealthy. I think all of us are here with a purpose to love unconditionally. And that is the hardest work I think any of us can do, because we have to break through this maya of an illusion of limitations to be able to do that. And even here's where it goes a step further. It's so simple and yet it's so complex that unconditional love has to start with ourselves.
Wow.
I posted,
and rarely do we love ourselves unconditionally.
Right. I posted on Facebook the other day. I was having a really rough day on Monday, and I said I was really feeling unheard and unloved, and I got a notification on Facebook that somebody sent me, they tagged me in a birthday wish from 3 years ago and said, Wendy, your words are always with me.
Wow.
And so you never know what level you're touching people on or what difference you're making. It's a matter of showing up day in and day out and doing your best and doing what your heart really longs to do and saying screw it to everything else.
And everyone else. And even
Amen.
To yourself when you're doubting and feeling less than.
Yeah, for sure. It's always when you hear yourself saying, I don't know if I can do this. I don't. This is just crazy. It's too big of an idea. It's how am I ever going to get the funding? Whatever the case may be. I want you to stop and say, whose voice is this? And what I think most everybody will be surprised by is if they are really courageously honest with themselves, they'll realize it's not their own voice. Somebody in their past has planted a seed of doubt that you have to play small in order to fit in order to be safe, in order to be loved. And in that moment of realizing whose voice that is, take a moment to pause and thank them, because they probably planted that seed of doubt to keep you safe, even though it hasn't. And then send them a little bit of love and then make a choice. How long do I want to keep listening to this voice? And you, it's your choice. You can listen as long as you want. There's no wrong answer here. It's a matter of, if I don't want to listen to it anymore, then what voice do I want to listen to? And then you say, I, in your name, so I, Wendy Reese, am going to be present in this moment. I'm going to show up, and I'm going to do my best, and I'm going to succeed in whatever way that turns out. And then you just watch and see how that starts to open up the doors for you.
You know, you mentioned Facebook, and there was something. There's a person on my Facebook page, and I'm wondering what you think about this. It seems like they're always battling negativity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, all the posts are like, well, this is for the naysayers. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. And on the top, it seems like they're trying to be positive. But mm-hmm. the way they go about it, it's like, why are you spending so much time addressing negativity? Why not just leave it alone? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. Well, there's two things. My friend Denny always said, what you resist will persist. And it sounds like they're resisting negativity, so it keeps showing up in their life. The other thing is it's a reflection. That thing that we oftentimes are fighting, like that they're fighting their negativity, is something that we're deeply wrestling with inside of us. So the fake it till you make it works to a degree, but until you really go down into the roots and say, all right, why have I battled with negativity? What is this all about? And am I willing in this moment, even if I don't know how, am I willing to start trying to treat myself with love and respect? And each time you catch yourself saying, oh, my God, Wendy, why was it? What? You're so stupid. I can't believe you did that. I go, whoa, okay, that's not very loving. So I'm just going to take a pause and say, well, I wasn't being very mindful in that moment, and here's where I start being mindful again. And that's when you start creating new neural pathways in your brain, and you start to really create a shift.
Okay. So let's say, because we've had a great discussion, we've only got like 5 minutes left. let's say that you have someone who is just at the beginning of this process. They're coming to that place where they're realizing just how disconnected they are.
Yeah.
What do they do now? What is their next step?
I think the next step, oftentimes the best thing that you can do is invest in yourself and to find a guide that has experience in taking people through that transformation, because while we can do it on our own, it's hard to ask the hard questions of ourselves.
Right.
And it's a lot easier when you have somebody, a coach, a counselor, a guide, who is able to ask those questions, who's willing to walk side by side with you into the shadows, and they're not going to leave you there. And they're going to continually remind you that you are worthy and you matter. I think the next thing is to start creating those daily rituals that allow you to be present. I do a morning ritual. I try to be up every morning by 5:15. Some mornings I'm a little better than others. And I will drink my hot water with lemon. I'll make my coffee or my tea, and then I go up and I meditate for 15 minutes, and then I journal, and then I go for a walk or I do a yoga practice. And that starts my day off really well. When I come home, there's in Ayurveda, which is the sister science to yoga, it's all about balance. And there are three different parts to all of our constitutions, vata, pitta, and kapha, so air, fire, and earth. And that early morning, that 2 a.m. to 6 a.m. is a vata time. It's air, it's creative, it's spiritual. From 6 a.m. to 10 a.m., it's a kapha time, it's more earth. So during that time, I really focus on breakfast and doing all of the admin stuff because that's not my thing. But if I focus on it during that time, I get more done. And then from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., that's your pizza time, which is more fiery. You can really get a lot of stuff. Go into the same three cycles in the evening. So 2 p.m. to 6 p.m. is vata. That's a really great creative time. And then from 6 p.m., I try to shut everything down except for the nights that I'm teaching yoga, like tonight. And I start winding down into time with friends or reading or doing stuff that's a little bit more grounded. And then I try to be in bed by 10 p.m. so that 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. time, my conscious brain can process through whatever it needs to process through during the day. And then it all starts over the next day. But when you are starting to create those rituals for yourself, you're learning how to trust yourself again. You're learning how to feel. You're learning how to listen to your inner wisdom. You're learning how to be present. And that starts to weave its way through everything that you do. And so when you, I laugh, I've been teaching yoga for 14 years now, and everybody says, oh, you're so patient. And I laugh because I'm not. That's the one thing that has not changed at all. But what has changed is that I'm able to breathe through it. And I'm able to remember how to be compassionate, because sometimes, well, inside I may be thinking, wow, this person is an idiot. And then I go, whoa, whoa, whoa. I just call myself that because we are all one. So I back off, practice a little loving kindness here, breathe, slow down, and let this process through in whatever way it needs to process through. So it's allowed me to be a lot more calm and patient. And I think that is the biggest thing as you're moving from beginner into a more intermediate. And I am, on any given day, I'll say I'm still a beginner because I'm still learning every single day. And it's a process and it's a journey and we have layers. And that's the beauty of it. That's the godly play. We contract and we expand. It's the ebb and the flow. It's how quickly can I get back to center? How quickly can I get back to present? How quickly can I remember to love? And that's when you know you're on it.
That is great. Wendy, where you mentioned, you know, if you're starting on this process, you might need a coach, and you are a coach. So where can people find more information about you?
They can find me at www.wholebeinginc.com. And if they add a /detox, I have a free 7-day, I don't think I can say a bad word, so I'm gonna abbreviate it. Okay. Oh, fuck it, detox. It's a 7-day lifestyle detox. And each day, for 6 days, we're just picking one particular thing. So it could be health, it could be mental, it could be financial, spiritual, career. And then on the 6th day, we put it all together. So you have a morning ritual and you have an evening ritual and you have little keys to remind you through the day to look at what are you willing to let go of? What are some of these old repetitive habits that you're willing to let go of? What patterns are you willing to let go of? And then on the 6th day, you put it all together and you come up with a 30-day plan. You come up with a quarterly plan. You come up with a yearly plan of how you're going to move forward.
That sounds great. And the link to the detox is in the show description. So if you're listening now and you think, wow, that sounds great, just look at the show description and you'll see how to get to that. And Wendy, thank you so much for stopping by my little show.
Oh, it has been a pleasure. Thank you so much. Namaste.
Namaste. And I know I'm going to do that detox. And see, the thing is, when you uncensored yourself, that's what hooked me. When you told me, like, the actual name, I'm like, oh, I'm so there.
Well, it's so funny because I try to be mindful because I know iTunes, we have to be, like, if there's any kind of language, you have to then change everything. So I try to be really mindful when I'm on somebody else's show. But on my show, I just speak whatever words that comes out with. It's not always.
Yeah, I've been cussing since third grade, so I'm cool with that. So I don't drop F-bombs a lot unless I'm driving. But but you know, sometimes it's the exact thing you want to say.
Exactly.
So, and if we're being our unapologetic selves, then sometimes the F-bomb is needed.
Exactly.
Exactly. Thank you so much for dropping by, Wendy. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, love.
Okay, have a great evening.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, and that is Wendy Reese. You can find her on the web at Whole Being Inc. Whole Being Inc. And WholeBeingInc.com/detox if you want to do her free 7-day detox. I know I'm going to do it. So that said, we're going to go ahead and wrap this show up. And I'm just going to say, you know, Wendy talked a lot about her morning routine. Hers is pretty involved. She does yoga, she journals. I would challenge you, even if you don't want to fill up your morning, to get up maybe 15 minutes earlier. So if nothing else, maybe you can get in some quiet time, or maybe you just get up earlier so you're not rushing and you're leaving the house with a clearer head and not a bunch of clutter, which is a terrible way to start your day. Anyway, couple extra minutes in the morning, go ahead and do Wendy's detox, because I know I'm doing it. And stop imagining something better and start believing in something better and taking action towards something better. And with that, we're going to go ahead and end the show. And as always, get it started, get it moving, and together, we'll get it together.
I know you want more fun, feisty fabulousness, so subscribe to Get It Together Girl at getittogethergirlmedia.com. You'll receive the free bad self-talk solution and stop negative self-talk in its tracks. You'll also get updates when new blog posts are uploaded, and you'll get my monthly newsletter. It's all at getittogethergirlmedia.com. And as always, dream big, sparkle more, and shine bright.